1025-1063, the game. Mike Vrabel is at the podium now.
Trying to get him to, you know, continue to understand where he fits in our scheme and where he needs to be in combination with guys. But, you know, we did a nice job pretty much all the day in protection against some really good guys. And so I think he's only going to continue to get better as well.
As you look back at the tape from the offensive standpoint, very happy with what you saw in the first half, and then second half, I know you only had four possessions. What are some things you could clean up there to maybe to help moving forward?
Well, making sure, you know, we had the turnover, which was, you know, unfortunate. And I think some of the gains and the runs that we had, you know, in the first half, you know, probably weren't there, you know, for, you know, whether it's one guy here or our pressure. But we had some opportunities. You know, felt like we could have got the screen going again. We had success with that in the first half. You know, wasn't able to get Nate out, you know, for obvious reasons. If you watch, you know, how they played him, not allowing him to get to the backer. And the conversions. You know, we had some really cool third down conversions in the first half and weren't able to get it, you know, third and one. You know, we didn't get many people blocked on that one. You know, and then just making sure that, you know, we're better in 4 minutes there at the end. I thought the way that we finished the first half was three critical points when you look at defensively getting a stop, stopping the clock, 20-yard return. You know, Caleb Farley did a nice job of getting to the second level. Robert does what we ask every returner to do is make the first guy miss. He did a fantastic job with that. 21 yards to midfield, 21 seconds, you know, the two timeouts, you know, Nick sitting down, catching a contested pass, Ryan being decisive with it, you know, and then getting the extra yards that we needed and Randy coming through with a big kick. So those were three critical points. You know, I think we all just have to, you know, make a few more plays offensively and defensively and in special teams in the second half there. We had opportunities in all three phases.
Taking stuff from the practice field to games, Mike, is that fair to say? You're seeing some things from him in practice and it's not showing up on game day?
Well, I mean, I think that there's been some growth there and, you know, we're going to continue to give him opportunities and make sure that he's, you know, ready to go and that he's competing each and every week for that opportunity to play, continue to help us on special teams. And, you know, we just all have to get comfortable in doing our jobs and making sure that, you know, we're understanding the call. We're understanding what the concept is, what it is that we're trying to get done. And whether you're playing a pass rusher, you're playing an inside linebacker or a corner, and just making sure that, you know, whatever that call is, that it's getting executed and that everybody's focused on doing their job.
You say talk about being comfortable. Is it a confidence issue for him?
I mean, I can't really speak on anybody's confidence level except for mine. That's not something that I think – it, you know, that's for the player to understand. And we have full confidence in everybody that's here that, you know, throughout the course of the season or even this week that, you know, the guys that are here, whether it's on the practice squad or on the active roster, are going to learn a game plan, prepare as a starter, have to go in there. Whether that's Dylan Cole like he did defensively or, you know, Josh Kalu who had to go in there, you know, some snaps, interior defensive lineman, and so that's what we ask everybody to do.
What's your evaluation process like, Mike, for that, so let's say that position specifically during the course of the week that leads you to, here's the guy we're going to go with?
I just wanted to try somebody new and give somebody else an opportunity, and that may change this week. That's what it was on a short week, and you know, that could be something different for this game plan this week.
What's the stuff you look for during the week, though, Mike, as you do evaluate?
You know, just an overall understanding. You know, we don't have that many reps. You know, Wednesday was a walkthrough, but, you know, there's certainly things that we would look for is, you know, the ability to you know, be able to match up, be able to understand what the zone coverage responsibilities are, the ability to play the correct leverage. And those are all things that we look for.
So is it more of a technique issue from an individual standpoint or a scheme issue of him not maybe all the time carrying out the assignment correctly?
And just overall, just trying to make sure that everybody's ready to do their job, execute when their number's called, and find ways to help us win.
Where are you in that process, though, as far as, because I know yesterday you said that you're still looking for guys that can cover. Is that something?
We're still looking for guys that can rush and can cover, when they do all those things. We're looking for as many guys as we can find, and we'll evaluate the guys that we have here and try to make the ones that were rushing here and figure out the ones that can cover. And so, each week is going to be something different.
Five catches yesterday. How nice was it to get him going in that way? And do you think that helped maybe open up the running game, or is that unrelated?
Well, I think it was what they were trying to do is they were trying to get back to try to stop some of the intermediate, play passes that we've had, that we'd like to have success with. And I thought the best thing that Derek was available. He got to those spots quickly, and then Ryan was able to find him. Derek did a nice job of putting the ball away and turning up like we talked about and gaining some valuable yardage.
How big was it for Stonehouse to get off that 70-yard punt to at least put you in position to have them pinned back?
Take as many 70-yard punts as we can get.
Going back to Caleb, what is the balance for you in terms of wanting to have confidence in the guy that's out there to execute, and then also wanting to get a guy like Caleb who hasn't played a ton of football, that development in live game reps, and where does that balance lie for you when you make those personnel decisions?
I think that's just something that we have to look at each and every week, and hopefully that we can have a full week of practice and have a competition and see who, is going to be the guy that's going to go out and play for us and what the rotation may look like. As we work through what personnel they're in and what personnel that we end up playing.
How did Mitchell do, given that he'd only been here 4 days?
I think there was an understanding. They caught some balls on him. Obviously, we did the job that we wanted to on Devontae and Darren. But, Matt Collins really came up big, so give him a lot of credit. We just gave up, too many X plays there defensively in the second half.
Back to Derek, how good is it to get him out in space like that when he's split out like that?
Well, I mean, space is, probably hard to come by, for Derek. But when it is a zone and, if you look at the screen, it was cool to see him get going. And we just got to try to catch it a little cleaner so that the timing of some of those things are better, but those have to be good plays for us and still try to find ways to use his skill set along with running the football.
Robert had his best game yesterday. Was that just a function of the game, or do you see now that he's getting further away from the injury that maybe he's doing things a little bit more decisively and just playing better football?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we were able to find him. I think they really, some cool stuff there with him and Ryan. Thought he ran a great route down there in the red zone. The over, the play pass was nice. I think he set his angle, and Ryan was able to, throw him a really, really good ball. And the punt return was something that I thought was really, really beneficial and really helped us outside even those catches that he had that I think was a huge play.
How integral is he to the offense when trying to establish a rhythm like that?
Well, I think everybody is. Everybody is. Everybody has their role on each and every play. And how you perform that job. And we understand that the better that receivers play and running backs play without the football in their hand can only help us. Guys that are fighting for extra blocks to try to protect the guy with the football. And I think a great example of that was just, at the end of the game on the onside kick. Hoop goes and gets the kick, but Cody and Jeff Swaim and Torrey Carter over there trying to protect the guy and coming from a long distance and, Torrey had a heck of a block to protect Jeff. So those are things that we always are, preaching.
You hated to see Zach Cunningham get hurt. How'd you like his effort on that play to kind of fight through a bunch of guys to keep?
Yeah, a bunch of guys. They had some gadgets there that, they threw. Zach fought through some guys and made a play. And, don't really question, his effort or anybody else's effort. I think we just have to continue to make that a calling card for us, make sure that we're executing better and we're executing better together.
How do you feel
Weaver has done, you know, considering elevated snaps and, you know, playing a bigger role in the defense?
He continues to improve. I think that, you know, he gets tired a little bit in there and probably playing too much, you know, but that's a product of not getting off the field and, you know, not many other guys behind him.
Mike, is there a little bit different feel today as you watch film, or even some relief of just getting that first win and doing it in the fashion you did yesterday?
Well, I mean, I think we're excited about winning. You know what I mean? It's hard to win in this league. It is. And we're never going to take anything away from winning. We just got to continue to improve and fix the things that we feel like are fixable. Again, find out who's available, who we're going to have, and start to build a game plan and a roster to travel to Indianapolis for a huge division game on the road.
And with that division, how much do you put emphasis? It's the first one of the year. It's only week four. There's a lot of football left. But do you really put an extra emphasis on the fact that it is a division opponent?
Well, I mean, I think you have to, you know, you have to play well. You have to beat the teams in your division. You got to, you know, steal a couple on the road, which, you know, this is the next opportunity for that. So, I don't think that there's any – you know, we understand that, you know, they're a good football team. We have to go on the road against a good football team that just beat a good football team and, start doing some things better and continue to do the things that looked pretty positive yesterday.
Given how much draft capital you put into that cornerback position, a first-round pick, 2 second-round picks, to be in this state where you're saying we still got to find guys to cover, is there a frustration level to that?
No. This is our football team. This is a football team that we want, and that, no frustration. You know what I mean? We're just going to make sure that we get guys ready to play, get them to understand what's going on, and I'm confident that they're going to play like hell.
Thanks,
guys. Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel at the podium. Coming up next, we'll break down what Mike Vrabel had to say because he was asked a whole lot of questions about Caleb Farley, and he had some interesting things to say about it. So we'll break all of that down. Coming up next, plus your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, it's Chase Willie and D-Mace on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Is Caleb just not taking stuff from the practice field to games, Mike? Is that fair to say? You're seeing certain things from him in practice and it's not showing up on game day?
Well, I mean, I think that there's been some growth there, and, you know, we're going to continue to give him opportunities and make sure that he's, you know, ready to go and that he's competing each and every week for that opportunity to play, continue to help us on special teams. And, you know, we just all have to get comfortable in doing our jobs and making sure that, you know, we're understanding the call, we're understanding what the concept is, what it is that we're trying to get done. And whether you're playing a pass rusher, you're playing an inside linebacker or a corner, and just making sure that, you know, whatever that call is, that it's getting executed and everybody's focused on doing their job.
Here you go. That was Mike Vrabel, who just took the podium, and very strange vibe and strange energy coming from Mike Vrabel after a win. But the overall, my biggest takeaway from this press conference, and I think that what everybody there wanted to get to the bottom of and get answers about, was Caleb Farley.
Yeah, I mean, there were several questions about Caleb Farley. Even when they sort of got away from Caleb Farley, it came back up.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, people just don't understand why he didn't play but one snap yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why hasn't he been, you know, an integral part on that defense mm-hmm. thus far? And, you know, people are, you know, no one wants to hear about, well, he's only played this position for a couple of years. He was hurt. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. The kid's healthy. You said he had a great camp.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want to see the fruits of that great camp and him being healthy. And Mike is going to continue to have to answer questions about Caleb Farley as long as he's not on the field. If he gets on the field and he's doing his job, you won't hear anything else about Caleb
right.
Farley. But because he's not on the field, because you chose to bring in Mitchell and start him, and then the excuse you gave about Mitchell, well, you know, it was a short week, so we decided to play. That doesn't make sense, you know. Mm-hmm. It's almost like when you bring in a guy on a short week, you don't want to play him. You know, they brought in Josh Gordon. They still hadn't played him much yet.
Right.
So what is the difference?
They don't have nearly as much invested in Josh Gordon as they do their first round pick.
Absolutely. So what is the difference from bringing Josh Gordon in and him not playing than bringing Terrence Mitchell in and him playing? You know, Terrence Mitchell was only here 3 days.
Right.
But he was your starter. You know,
but he still thought that he was a better option than
exactly,
Caleb Farley.
And that's what people are trying to figure out. Like, mm-hmm. you're giving all these things, but you're not giving us the why. You're telling us right. everything else, but you're not giving us. And I understand why he is just not going directly to the point. I get it. He can't.
He
do
won't.
That, and he won't do that.
No. And that's not helping anyone if he
exactly.
does say if he does come out and say, hey, yeah, you know what? We just think that he absolutely does stink.
Yeah.
That's not going to help anybody. But I do. What I want the answer to is his continued, you know, beating of, we have confidence of everyone in this team. Mm-hmm. We have confidence in Caleb. We have confidence in our team, which, of course, I don't buy. Mm-hmm. But you're going to continue to tell us that you have confidence but not play Caleb Farley. And we all saw Caleb Farley's woes against the Buffalo Bills.
Exactly.
When Stephon Diggs was in the end zone and he went right and Caleb Farley went left. Complete opposite direction, and Stephon Diggs was just left unprotected in the end zone. And then comes out again, and this week, and he's not playing. So where is that confidence coming from?
Well, there's no confidence.
No.
You can – listen, I understand. Again, it's coach talk, and I understand that he has to protect –
it is going to be a lot of coach speak.
He has to protect his player. He's going to protect his player.
But we're
going
to be left to interpret.
Exactly. But you, after the game that Caleb Farley played against Buffalo, mm-hmm. And you know, in this press conference, you alluded to guys got to know the concepts of the defense. Guys got to communicate with the play calls. So what you're telling us is that he doesn't know the defense the way he should have, mm-hmm. the way he should. But Terrence Mitchell, who came in 3 days ago, he knows the defense better than Caleb Farley.
Right.
That's essentially what you're telling us. You know, because you said concepts and communication and guys need to be better at that. Well, if that's the case, then why haven't you gotten this guy up to speed to where he can start this week, even after a bad game, you know? But you chose to bring somebody else in to be the starter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, eventually, either you're going to have to, again, throw this guy in there and protect him, or you're just going to have to admit that he's not the guy that we thought he could be at this point in time. He may be a year down the line, but right now, he's just not the guy. So we got to look elsewhere for a corner. We got to find somebody that
okay,
can cover.
That's fine. As long as there's some sort of succession plan, or there's
exactly.
some sort of plan of, hey, this is why we decided to go with Terrence Mitchell over Caleb Farley. Could have been an injury thing. He could have had a nagging injury and he didn't want to push it. If that's the case, that's fine. I understand. Or if it's just, hey, he's just not ready. Or, hey, he's dealing with some confidence issues after that Bills game and we need to just coach him up a little bit. That's fine. But at least some sort of explanation so we're not left to interpret of, do you just think he's bad? Do you just think that he's not ready to start?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there was a good question asked. I believe it was Sam Phelan from A to Z Sports asked about kind of that balance between, you know, is trying to get him reps to build his confidence and so we can get more experience in this defense, get more in-game experience, and also making sure that your team is set up for the most success and making sure that you have all of the best players on the field. I thought that was a good question that Vrabel didn't really give us much of an answer to, but that is a difficult balance of Caleb Farley needs to be on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Farley needs to learn this defense. And Caleb Farley needs to build confidence in game reps.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's not going to give you the best chance to win, then one, that's a problem,
yeah.
and two, you can't play him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a difficult balance that they're faced with in terms of game day personnel.
Yeah, it is. Because, again, it goes back to they don't have enough depth at that position. Mm-hmm. You know, Buster Screen, you know, he retires at the beginning of the season. They have an injury at that position, and then Fulton goes down, but Fulton's back, and he's in and out of the lineup because of the hamstring. And, mm-hmm. and I'm sure, you know, he will be fully healthy to go for Indianapolis unless he had some type of setback that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But because you don't have the depth that you need at that position, it's almost like you can't throw him, and it's almost like if we had the depth, mm-hmm. then we can, in practice, he can learn.
Right.
He can learn. He can. But because we don't have the depth and we need to win football games, we can't sit back and teach you, you know. We can't sit here and try to coach you up all the time on things that you should know. Well, if that is indeed the case, then this guy that we just brought in, he seems like he knows, at least for this game plan, what to do. We're going to throw him in there. And I'm going to go back to the whole confidence thing.
Mm-hmm.
Vrabel said he can't – I'm just paraphrasing here. He said that, well, I can't judge a guy's confidence. That's a lie.
That is such a lie.
That is a huge – I know as a player – if I'm looking at if a guy's gotten burned or a guy dropped touchdowns or dropped punts, I can watch him through the whole week and know if he's lost his confidence. And I don't have to ask him, but
you
I can just tell by his demeanor, his approach to the game.
The body language
exactly,
says a lot.
If he's lost his confidence or his confidence is wavering.
Mm-hmm.
So when Vrabel says, I can't speak on another man's confidence.
Yes, you can. That's
as
your
a head
player.
Coach. You have confidence enough in them to play them, then you can tell if they got confidence enough to play the position that you want them to play. That's just, I mean, any coach after watching a player for long enough, they can tell you, yeah, his confidence is a little rattled right now. He may not say anything, but I can tell by his body language, I can tell by his demeanor, I can tell by his approach that he's wavering a little bit in his confidence, so I need to do something as a head coach, or we need to do something as a coaching staff to make sure this thing doesn't get out of hand. So when he says that, that's not true.
It's not. No, and Vrabel's not going to tell you the truth.
No, he's not going to sit there and say, yeah, this kid has lost his confidence.
Or this kid is super confident. We just decided to sit him for another reason. And that opens up a whole other conversation.
Exactly.
But I just keep going back to, I want to know why. Why was he not in on Sunday? Why did you think that somebody that you got off the practice squad was better than him? Is he just not very good? Does he just not understand this defense after he's been here for a year and a half? Why?
Because the defense hadn't changed much. Shane Bowen is still the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's not like, you know, he went from Shane Bowen and somebody else that plays a whole totally different defense. So then I can understand, hey, look, the kid has to learn.
There's a little bit of switch up in personnel, but not enough for it to be completely, you know, uprooted.
This is the same defense. They may run some things a little different, but this is the same defense Shane Bowen ran last year. He's running it this year.
Christian Fulton is still on the other
side. Exactly. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why that after a year and a half that he sort of still can't pick up on concepts and they're not communicating or he's not getting the communication that he needs to know what coverage he needs to be in so he won't get beat on a deep route.
Let's go to your phones. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark in Paris texts in and says he was hurt his whole last year of college and whole first year with the Titans. He's been available this year in 3 games. More time is needed, and like Derek said, maybe a position change. I like him. Coach him up.
Yeah, I mean, I think he needs to change positions.
Can you do that?
Yeah, he can. He can change to
safety?
He can be a safety.
Safety.
He can change. I just don't think after watching him. He doesn't have the skill set or all the things that he needs to play the cornerback position in this league.
Mm-hmm.
College, yes.
Yeah.
In the NFL with these wide receivers, he can't match up. He just can't. He's a fish out of water right now. What he can do is switch positions and be a safety. And maybe he'll transition to being safety a little bit different because you don't have to read it like a corner reads it. You don't sit there and play a guy man-to-man, one-on-one all the time. You may have to drop to play a slot guy or a tight end, but you're not sitting out there on an island by yourself having a corner have to cover top receivers in the National Football League. I just think he's a guy that has the athletic ability, but he doesn't have all those other things you need to play the cornerback position. He just doesn't have.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your phones, your thoughts on Caleb Farley. Plus, coming up next, How do we feel about the Titans' defense overall on Sunday, and how do we feel about it moving forward? Because Mike Vrabel talked about some of their plans on defense moving forward. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, it's Chase Billy and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game.
Where are you in that process, though, as far as – because I know yesterday you said that you're still looking for guys that can cover. Is that something –
we're still looking for guys that can rush and can cover, you know, when they do all those things. You know, we're looking for as many guys as we can find, and we'll evaluate the guys that we have here and try to make the ones that we're rushing here and figure out the ones that can cover. And so, you know, each week is going to be something different.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel, just took the podium. Also, hey, it is Preds Game Day, brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop today to get rewarded with social cash back. Buy a $1,000 gift card and get $125 cash back on your Social Furniture gift card. Shop local, shop social in West Nashville. So that press conference to me just felt like the biggest indictment on Caleb Farley that you could possibly have, without Mike Vrabel saying a damning thing about Caleb Farley. I mean, and he tried, as you pointed out to me, he brought up his contribution on special teams.
Yes.
But the indictment is the fact that he is not saying Caleb Farley is our guy, Caleb Farley will be playing. The fact that he is not playing, that's the indictment.
Yeah, it is. He's, you know, when these questions are asked of him, and he's saying, well, you know, we're still looking for guys that, you know, can rush the passer. That's not the question that he asked you, okay? He asked you specifically about the cornerback and Farley.
Right.
And then he said, well, yeah, we're still looking for guys to cover as well. Well, here's the problem. When you say, well, we're looking for guys to rush the passer, we know why you don't. Why you're having difficulties getting to the passer.
We know that you got injuries on
exactly.
the front four.
So we know
we all saw what happened to Harold Andrew. We all understand that Bud Dupree is dealing with injury
we
things.
We get all of that. But it's not for the lack of you. It's not like you've drafted at those positions and they just missed. You've drafted at those positions and you got one guy that's a Pro Bowler or All-Pro. He's injured. You can't do anything about that. Then you have another guy that's pretty good in Dupree, but he was injured last game. That's nothing we can do. We can't do anything about that.
Right.
But
unfortunately, injuries happen, but we understand what's happening.
Exactly. But we know that once they come back, they are legitimate playmakers.
Right.
Well, in the secondary, it's not that way. You know, the guys that you went out and drafted at that position hasn't worked out. I'm not talking about McQuarrie, because McQuarrie, they just drafted him this year.
He's solid.
We're talking about the drafts prior, when you drafted Caleb Farley in the first round, when he was already injured, when you could have probably got him in the second or third round and got you a healthy cornerback in the first round.
Injured and also not a certified cornerback.
Exactly. This is not a guy that played his whole college career at the cornerback position.
Right.
This is a guy that made the transition. And I'm not saying that, you know, it. You know, when guys make transitions, they don't work out, because you always see a guy that comes into college. He may be playing running back. They switch him, you know, to wide receiver. Then they switch him to defensive back, and it ends up working out for him at defensive back. It was just, well, those two positions we tried him at, he wasn't, you know, he just, that wasn't for him.
Right.
We found him a suitable spot, and now he's flourishing. Well, with Farley, he never, even at the cornerback position, he never got an opportunity to show all of that because of injury. And now you draft him in the first round. Now all this pressure is on him to become this first-round draft pick that many think he should be. And the guy is not ready, nor is he equipped to be that guy. If you draft him in the third or fourth round, we're not saying anything. But because you chose to draft him in the first round, now everybody's wondering and scratching their heads is, can this guy really play? Because what you're telling us and showing us, you don't have confidence that he can play, because you chose to bring in somebody else with only 3 days of work and make him an integral part of your defense, whereas the guy that's been here, he was a no-show.
And this is a problem with so many layers, because not only is Caleb Farley not on the field a problem, not only did he show against Buffalo that he was a liability when he was on the field, not only is the lack of depth on the defensive line with Harold Landry being injured and out for the season and Bud Dupree being injured, not only does that put more pressure on the defensive backs, But all of that combined, that puts your defense at a step back, and then you add in the draft element of it, the fact that John Robinson hasn't been able to do a whole lot of hitting in the draft recently, and the 2022 draft looks promising.
Yes.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. But 2020 and 2021, those were bad drafts.
Yeah. As a whole,
and
yes.
It continues to show itself. Because with Caleb Farley, you could look at it like, okay, maybe he comes to fruition. Maybe this pick really does. Maybe we ultimately see what John Robinson saw in Caleb Farley. Uh-huh. But you whiff on your second round pick. You whiff on your third round pick. Rashad Weaver might be the best thing that you can get out of this draft class. So not only is Caleb Farley's inability to play the cornerback position, at least right now, a problem, the draft classes as a whole are a problem, and it's starting to rear its ugly head.
Well, it's going
to
hurt them as they continue to get into the season, especially, you know, we know this league, and the more games you play, the more, you know, you open yourself up to injury.
Mm-hmm.
This Tennessee Titan team started off the year on the wrong foot with injuries, with Harold Landry going down, and then Bud Dupree, and then Christian Fulton going down for a game or whatnot.
Right.
So as the season continues to go, you're going to have more guys go down.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, either Caleb Farley is going to have to show you he has the confidence to play that position, or you're just going to have enough confidence in him for him to throw him out there. And again, just protect him. Luckily, thank God, the Titans were able to walk away from this game with a victory, because now we can sort of put that behind us, the Caleb Farley thing behind us for this week,
right?
Because they got a victory.
You're in the win column, exactly. And that solves a whole lot of issues.
That solves a lot of issues. But moving forward, you know, going to Indianapolis, mm-hmm. they're going to start to need to see something from Caleb Farley where he can be a contributor, not just on special teams, because Vrabel mentioned him during special teams that he had a good block on the return, but he also needs to
Which is great. Good job, Caleb Farley.
You did your job.
You did not get drafted to block on kick returns.
Absolutely. You got drafted in the first round to be our number one corner. So moving forward, they got to find some way that they can get this kid on the field at the cornerback position where he can be productive, because they need this game bad moving forward. We see that Jacksonville's they're ahead of the conference right now.
Right.
And Jacksonville looks like Jacksonville looks like the best team in the conference in the division.
Really good. Trevor
they
Lawrence
look like the best team in the division.
Looks like the Trevor Lawrence that got drafted first overall.
Exactly. So if that is indeed the case, and Trevor continues to look this way, they're going to need that defensive back unit to step up, and they're going to need Farley to step up as well if they're going to, you know, to do anything in this division. And again, I trust Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I trust Mike Vrabel that he will get this team to a point where, you know, they are truly still competing for the division. I don't know about the AFC as a whole, but this division, I trust that he will put this team in a position to compete and possibly win this division.
Division is still very much
exactly.
so at
Absolutely.
Play. And at least getting a win here keeps you in conversation for the
yes.
division. But with Indianapolis coming up next week, your job only gets more difficult and the games only get more important from there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your phone since it is your day. It is a Titans Monday, so we'll get to your phones on this coming up next. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Every day our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason. It's Chase, William, D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Chase, Willie, and D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline Fenton, D. Mace, hanging out with you. D. Mace, unless you have a thought, to the phones.
Let's go to the phones.
To the phones. Adam is up next.
Hey, D-Mace, Caroline. So you know what I heard in that press conference? I heard relief through everybody's voices. Mm. They're just relieved, man. When you get to 0-2, we've been there before. It only matters getting a win. It doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter if you squandered a lead that you built. It just matters coming away with a win. I bet the Raiders would give anything to be in our shoes today. So I think about that. Derek, y'all were talking about Caleb Farley. We've seen this before. If you remember Andre Woolfolk, highly drafted out of Oklahoma.
I know.
Supposed to be shut down. I remember seeing practices of you toasting this dude. Everybody toasted him. I don't want to say he sucks because he was a really good player in college, but that did not translate, man. Something looked funky with that guy. But that's the same thing with Caleb Farley. He'll either find his way or he won't. But that win yesterday to me, that felt like Mike Vrabel just had written all over it. I mean, it was gritty. I love Stonehouse. If I could say one thing about one player, Christian Fulton was amazing. Stonehouse was amazing, cracking 70-yard punts. But it's just a team win, man. I don't really care how we got it. I'm just happy to be 1-2.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Adam. And I think that's fair. I think that you can, on one side, be relieved and just glad that the Titans got a win. It's just survive and advance at that point. And to this point, you know, the Raiders are in arguably the most difficult division in the NFL, and they're 0-3. The Raiders season feels pretty close to done at this point, if it's not already. So, yes, you have to be glad that you're not in that position, that the Titans got a win, and then you just move forward. But I think you can be relieved and also simultaneously a little bit concerned about you what you would have seen, whether it be from Caleb Farley, whether it be, you know, the offensive step back in the first half, whether it be injuries, whatever it might be. You can be relieved and also simultaneously concerned.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's just like anything. You know, there, you know, two things can't operate in the same space that are sort of, you know, opposite of one another. You know, you can be, like you said, Caroline, you can be happy that you got the victory, but you also can be concerned moving forward as a fan base. You know, yes, we got out of there with the win. Yes, the team played wonderful in the first half. The second half, not quite so, but they did just enough or stopped Oakland just enough that they were able to walk out of Nissan Stadium with a victory. But also, you can say, man, but moving forward, gosh, man, we got some problems.
Right.
Especially in the secondary.
Especially with a divisional game coming up next.
Absolutely.
Against the Colts. But Caleb texts into the text line and says, I saw Caleb Farley at a Preds game last year, and the guy looked like Forrest Gump, barely walking. There's no question why he sucks this year. He's a bust first-round pick, and J-Rob should be held accountable. Okay, whoa.
Yeah. I ain't going that far.
I'm not going that far. I'm not going to call him a bust. I'm not going to say that he sucks. All that I want to know is, why is he not playing? That then I think that we can get to the next conversation of, is he a bust? Is it an injury issue? Whatever it might be. And holding John Robinson accountable, in the same way that I said that you can be concerned about the Titans and how they looked, but be excited about how they won, I think the next thing is you can be concerned with how John Robinson has been drafting, but also relieved by the fact that the Titans have not had a losing season since he's gotten here. So the drafting is a concern. The fact that you didn't get anything out of your 2020 first-round pick, and then you turn around in 2021 when you need to hit, whenever, you know, the depth just isn't quite there in the secondary, and then it looks so far like you missed. So I can understand why fans are frustrated with John Robinson, but I'm not going that far as to say that, one, he's a bust, or two, John Robinson should be held accountable, which I can only assume he means lose his job.
Well, until Caleb Farley shows different, and not just me, but he shows that coaching staff different, he shows his teammates different, then he is a guy that maybe, just maybe, you shouldn't have drafted in the first round. Maybe you shouldn't have drafted at all. Maybe you should have allowed someone else to draft him, someone that can sit down and work with him, someone that has depth, enough depth at that position where they don't have to thrust them into to be a starter. So I just don't think he's, from what I've seen. Now, again, he can change. Just like, you know, from what I've seen of the Titans, you know, the first two games, you know, that they were, you know, they were inept in certain areas.
Right.
And this team was looking as if, you know, they were going downhill and downhill fast, especially after the injury with Taylor Lewan and then Bud Dupree. But they were, at least for one game, they were able to turn it around and they were able to pull out a victory. Well, with Caleb Farley, he can change, but from what I've seen, I don't think it's coming. I think he will just always be a backup player. I don't think he will ever be a starter in this league.
Really?
I think he will be a backup player.
How much of it can you couch it with, well, he's coming off of an ACL, or, well, he hasn't played a lot of football?
You can say that, but here's the thing about it, is if you have the skill, if you have the potential, you see it. People see it. Like, there's no question I see it. Yeah, you haven't been playing this position a long time. Yes, you've been hurt, but you're healthy now. I see it in you. You're doing – I see it in you from the physical standpoint, but I see it – really see it in you from the mental standpoint. Like, you know this defense frontwards and backwards. You just hadn't caught up with it from a physical standpoint because you're new to the position. If that was the case, yeah. I don't think that's the case. Obviously, it's not because Vrabel didn't put him on the field this year. I mean, this week. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he said guys got to learn concepts and communication and know what to do. That tells me even if he showed it from a physical standpoint, he's not showing it from a mental standpoint.
And when he's been here for as long as he has.
Exactly.
If you're a rookie and you're not able to make it on the field week one because you still need to understand concepts, uh-huh. If you're a first-round pick as a rookie, that to me is still unacceptable. He was a first-round pick, and this is his second year in the league.
This is not the quarterback position. Because outside of the quarterback position, I don't see maybe the center, too. Center and quarterback.
Yeah.
Because center and quarterback has to know pretty much everything that's going on. So, beside those two positions, there's no excuse you shouldn't know the offense and the defense. None whatsoever. Don't give me he's been hurt, he hadn't played a lot at this position. That has nothing to do with his mental capacity.
It's classroom stuff.
Exactly. That's like you should. There's no excuse after a year and a half, 2 years really, that you don't know concepts of what we're trying to do. There's no excuse for it. You know, so I will sort of buy the physical aspect that, okay, yeah, he's coming off injury. Yeah, he's just learning the position. I get all that. But from a mental standpoint, there's no way in hell you shouldn't know this defense frontwards and backwards, and you've been here 2 years. That's inexcusable. As a player, that's inexcusable. That means we can't use you. I don't want you out there as a player, and the coaches don't want you out there because you don't know what to do. And that's the way Coach Vrabel made it seem. Guys got to know concepts, mm-hmm. and guys got to communicate and know what we're doing. He didn't flat out point to one guy. But the question was asked of Caleb Farley, and he said that. So, obviously, that was more so for Caleb Farley, not for anybody else.
You say, from what you've seen, mm-hmm. he's a backup.
Yeah, he's a backup.
He's a backup in this league.
Yeah.
TD says he needs to give it more time. When do you think the Titans, when do they have to look at Caleb Farley? When does it get to a point where it's just not going to work anymore, where it gets to a point where he's just hurting this team?
Well, it's not going to be this season because they need him. They need him out there on the field. They need him to contribute in any way possible because they're thin at the position.
And whether it's drafting another corner or bringing in another corner or moving on from him completely, when do they have to make that next move?
Next year. Next year in offseason. They're going to have to. This will be – I would be surprised moving forward, whatever the record ends up being. I think they're going to end up with a winning record. I know they will. With Mike Vrabel as head coach, I would be flabbergasted and floored if they didn't end up with a winning record. Now, whether they win the division, that's a different story. But a winning record, he will have them with a winning record. If indeed, when the season's done, there's two positions they need to address, the offensive line and the cornerback position. You address them with the first pick and the second pick. I mean, first and second round, however you want to do it. Draft the offensive lineman first, corner second, corner first, offensive. It doesn't matter. But you need to start building up that depth at those two positions because those two positions are critical in this league.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on that. But, hey, before we go, I got to let y'all know that it is Predators Game Day brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop today to get rewarded with social cash back. Buy $1,000 and get $125 cash back on your Social Furniture gift card. Shop local, shop social in West Nashville.